knowledge which is based on sense perception or experimental knowledge of matter. And that has become prevalent in today's society, and everyone is seeing a technological advancement. But actually the theories that these scientists are proposing, this knowledge, so-called knowledge, which is not knowledge, is actually nescience. Scientific knowledge, Krishna consciousness is also scientific knowledge, but and these scientists that they publish so many books, it is actually not telling you who you are. It's not telling you what is your real situation in life. That knowledge is provided by Krishna consciousness, by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But this scientific knowledge is analyzing matter and making theories and changing theories. Every few years we have new theories, because they say it's objective knowledge, it's rational knowledge, free from emotions, free from the mind. But that is actually not true, because the knowledge that is analyzed in scientific world is actually imaginative, you can say. It's actually it is actually just a whole big fat speculation, because for example, if you analyze any of the theories that are prevalent, Darwin, theory of evolution of species, or the Big Bang theory, it is actually makes you a little bit laugh. To me, it makes me laugh a little bit, or a lot, because they analyze and they conjecture, they speculate what that means. But what that means is where the imagination is, because you can analyze things in many different ways. If I ask you what is happening there, you can say this is that, and then you can say something else, and somebody else can say something different. So the way you analyze and you interpret data, or different spectra of data in different ways, like so many quantum theories, and so many theories there. So what they do is they verify according to different experiments and a number of experiments. And if that works, they try to work out what is going on here. But what they're doing is just trying to it's called reductionism. That means that certain laws, through the whole, first of all, perceive the whole spectrum of matter. Because why? Because our senses are imperfect. We just perceive certain range of what is going on. Plus, we are under the condition of our own emotions, hopes, fears. So we are not impartial, as they say. We are very ambitious. We will become very ambitious scientists, become a very famous scientist. So you need to say something new in order to become a great scientist. And then you can receive the Nobel Prize, which means it's the person who discovered the dynamite, Nobel Prize. So, which is very damaging for many people, by the way. They analyzed this spectrum of data, and they imagine what is going on, and they become the gurus of the world. They say this: the world exploded. There was a singularity. They call singularity the Big Bang theory. The initial point of creation, they call it point of singularity. Why? Because they say that everything, all matter of the whole universe, was concentrated in a single point at a very high temperature. and then exploded very fastly, and it created gradually this expansion of all the planets, perfect order, you know, and living entities living in a condition which, if you could simulate, it is very difficult. It must be in a range of conditions that life is possible. If you are out of that range, temperature, different factors, you cannot live. You know, and then many species in the ocean, they can live there, we cannot live. Some can fly. If you take a needle and then you drop it, it falls because of gravity, but it's very light and it still drops. But a bird who is weighing few grams, you know, much more than the needle, is flying there. So you can see how is intelligence there. And then, this example is given of that you take a watch, and you take a hammer, and you smash into powder. You make dust of this watch, and you throw in the sky. You throw it. It is very difficult that these particles become alive and in order. You know, the chances are like really, really, really small, like really one into billions and trillions, that this dust, it becomes like these planets, you know, are becoming everything, like perfectly seeing every day the sun in the east races, you know, and all the orbits and all the air, how perfectly it's arranged, you know, by the Lord, how the water, by the effect of the heat, the sun creates the clouds and reaches everyone, the water is, you can drink, you know, and then the vegetables are there, the fruits are there, everything so nicely arranged. And like that. So this theory is basically imagination. Make it simple. But real knowledge is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Real knowledge is given in Vedic. Vedic, Veda means knowledge. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutras, which means the sutras are short statements, aphorism, concentrated information in few words about the end of knowledge. Vedanta, Veda, end, Anta. So his natural commentary is his book we have here. It's a few volumes. So it is knowledge about the Supreme Soul. So we cannot reach anywhere just by analyzing matter and making theories and speculating about what is an electron or proton, or because nobody has seen an electron to start with. Nobody has seen. It's just like, how can we explain that things are working? But if you analyze the pain, for example, nobody can see pain, but it is there. If I take an axe and start shooting at you, you're gonna feel pain. So if you take this pain and then you make electronic or you make a spectrum, you graphic about the pain, you can say the pain is increasing, the nervous system here is really, really, you know, we can make graphics about the pain that you're feeling. But nobody has seen pain. But nobody has seen the electron. But scientists accepting the electron as a fact, but pain they don't accept. They don't just, okay, they have some psychological, also science, so-called science. But actually, they're missing so much. They're missing so much. And the so-called knowledge is producing so much pain in the world. To start also, to continue with. Because it is knowledge that is not designed to make people happy. And what we really want is a society which is getting closer to Krishna and to our constitutional position, and then everyone in society is getting knowledge about knowledge, real knowledge about who they are and how to get free from material existence, not to get, how to get entangled in it. So Srila Prabhupada is making in this purport the point of accepting a spiritual master by which we can actually get free of nescience. So because a person who is enlightened with the knowledge of Krishna can give us the truth, can actually help us to realize that we are not the body. And there is also another person in the heart, which is Krishna, the Super Soul, and how we can establish our relationship with him to obtain knowledge about God and go back to Godhead. So it is a beautiful verse. This knowledge is coming from 5:15. It is explained that the spirit soul is bewildered because he thinks himself the doer. We think ourselves the doer of activities, and that is the real darkness. So how to come to the light, of Krishna consciousness, means, this is very important, is to understand that the modes of nature are acting in life, in our everyday life, according to our desires. It is not that we are the doer. We are the doer because we desire. This is what we do. We can desire certain things, you know, so many things. But then everything is happening according to our desires by the modes of nature, which are subservient to Krishna. So Krishna, in the heart, is actually the controller of nature, and he supplies, you know, according to your desires. So you are the doer because you desire, that's all. The modes of nature are the doer because they are doing, but they are not the doer ultimately, because Krishna is the ultimate doer. So we have three doers. First is the soul, then are the modes of nature, and then the Krishna. But the real doer is Krishna according to your desire. So there is free will. You have free will, but it's very limited. You have a choice. You have a choice. But if you ask any scientist, most of them, they will tell you there is free will. I can do this and then all that. I have free will. I can choose. But we are not, actually. I remember when I was in India, in Mayapur, that this teacher, he gave an example, and stick to me still. And he said that there is a cow in the field and there is a tiger. So the tiger is going to eat the cow. It's not his free will. That soul is inside the body of the tiger, and is dictated by his own body to eat the cow. And the cow is eating the grass. Is dictated to eat the grass. It's not free will. It is force because of the body condition. You are inside of a body of a dog. You are gonna, you know, do what the dog does. You are inside of a body of a beetle or bee or bird or tree, and you're conditioned by those modes. We are conditioned by our mind. We got this body by our desires. We created this reality, thinking in the way we do, and everything that happened to us. So this is the situation, and this is the real knowledge to start with. So this is needed, that the society knows about what is real knowledge. And this is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to spread this knowledge for the benefit of everyone. So this is just the start, the beginning of knowledge, to realize that we are not this body. Our thoughts and the influence of material nature, our will, we have to contemplate, like Buddhists say, contemplate your thoughts like clouds passing in the sky. and then get detached. Get detached. Because if you act on that, you have to get the reactions. It's a disease you have to get. Once inside your body, you have to get the reaction. Takes some time, but comes. So it's important that our activities are directed according to with knowledge. Knowledge about who we are and how to get out of this entanglement of suffering existence, of suffering under the modes. So how to do that? By accepting a spiritual master, ultimately, I mean. But before that, also we have to be convinced. We have to understand that then the Bhagavad Gita is telling the truth. And how to know that? So by reading it, by asking questions, by associating with Vaishnavas, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I don't know if it's the first time that you coming, or you know already about Krishna consciousness. It's the first time? Okay. So feel welcome. Sorry, you know, she is, okay. Okay, so how long you been asking? I mean, knowing about Krishna? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Okay, nice. Okay, thank you. I was asking because I was wondering, I should have asked before, sorry. So, yes, Krishna Consciousness, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is able to help us, actually, in many ways. Because real happiness cannot be obtained by what the world out there is offering. You see so many people buying things, watching TV, traveling, doing so many things, trying to enjoy in so many ways, but you cannot get enjoyment through matter. You only get enjoyment by spiritual knowledge. Why? Because we are the soul, we are spiritual. So we are spiritual living in a material environment which does not give us happiness. So it is our relationship with the Supreme Spirit Soul in love that give us real depth in life and reciprocation by Him. It's not that we just give, but we get also according to how much we give. So it's an interchange of love. In this way we can get out of this situation, which is a dangerous situation actually. We have to realize that we are put under a difficult condition of life. So to realize that is intelligence. If you don't see that there is danger, at any moment you can die, that means that we are in illusion, actually, because it's a fact. And then you have to take birth again and suffer again, the same thing. So it's very important, and then we can gradually, become eligible to get the grace of Krishna, because He is pleased. The more we get interested in Him, the more He is pleased, because He is like a father, you know, waiting to us to come back. We went away because we were a bit crazy and we wanted to enjoy so much, and then, but we if He is pleased, then we're gonna get this daylight. He's talking the verse, this revealed knowledge, this enlightenment, but must come from within. We cannot force it. I mean, we can try our best, but it must be coming from a spiritual platform. So it is that actually that we are looking for. Any question about this? About the class? Yeah, also for me. But what I understand, maybe someone else can explain better, is exactly what you said, more or less. That means that we are, first of all, we are spirit souls. That is a great step, you know. And then that we are spirit souls, but not just spirit souls that we just want to become, you know, and enter into the impersonal transcendence, but that we are actually servants of Krishna. We have a spiritual body, individual spiritual body, and then we can have a loving relationship with God, not just this individual spirit soul, but what is, does that mean, you know? It means that we are individuals, we have our place in the spiritual world, in a spiritual form. This is what I understand. A few minutes still. Any comment? Any? Prabhuji's question was asking, I'm just telling you, and you can carry on, is where's this last sentence of the purport about individuality and identity? The last sentence. Identity with individuality in a spiritual life is real knowledge. Because when we are talking about real knowledge, it's not knowledge about a book that I read it and that's knowledge. Yes, it is knowledge, but it is just jnana. Jnana, Sanskrit, means knowledge. But when you realize that knowledge factually, reveal knowledge in your heart, you know, that is another thing. It's not, it's a spiritual knowledge. And it is knowledge that gives you immense happiness, and we haven't experienced very much a lot yet. So the question is, individuality means our spiritual form in relation with Krishna, our spiritual body with Krishna, not just the spirit soul different from matter in an impersonal way where there is no Krishna, there is no relationship. So that was... Yeah, exactly. This is exactly the point. My mother is just commenting on the same point that Madhu was asking before about our individuality as spirit souls and relation with Krishna. So... No, not directly. Not directly. Yeah. Identity means who you are, right? Like identity card, who are you? You are a spirit soul. And individuality means that you are individual, you have a name in the spiritual world, you are a cow, you are a cowboy, whatever you are. So that's individuality. Identity and individuality, you know. The spiritual life is real knowledge. This is, I think, is the meaning, you know. They are all individuals in the past, they are individuals in the present, and they will continue to be individuals in the future. So we are individuals eternally. At night we see everything as one in the darkness, but in daytime, when the sun is up, we see everything in its real identity. So this sun is compared also to Krishna. You know, so when Krishna appears, the darkness dissipates. Then this morning was very beautiful I went for a walk and it was really nice with so many like a fog all over the horizon. It was really amazing. So this is like that when Krishna starts appearing in your life through different energies he has. So he's the only person who is able to make you fully satisfied, unlimitedly and increasingly, more and more. So this is the knowledge that people are hankering for, and we have to give it to them. And basically that's it. Anything else? Yeah, you need a spiritual master, or you need somebody who is giving you the signs of Krishna consciousness. Where is the sentence exactly, please? I want to read it again. More or less halfway up. Okay. One can know God and one's relationship with God. Only when one actually meets a representative of God. Why? Because the key of spiritual life is to please. Bhakti is about pleasing. It's not about knowing about theoretically. It's about practically applying that knowledge. That means to please the spiritual master. We sing every day in the morning the last four lines of Guru. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasadu. So that means that there is no advancement if the spiritual master is not pleased. So this is very important. We have to get free from the false ego. False ego means I am the enjoyer. Pleasing the spiritual master means he is the enjoyer. So this is a big it's a difference there. So I'm struggling with that. So, well, I don't have a spiritual master, but yes, basically, Prabhupada is our spiritual master, and false ego means that I want to be pleased. I get angry if I'm not pleased. Nobody's telling me anything or anything that is not pleasing to me. This is false ego consciousness. And Lord Krishna says in the 18th chapter, I don't know if we have one minute more, we have, if I'll find that verse. There is one verse in the 18th chapter that, let me see if I can find it for you. It's about, it says you'll be lost if you act through false ego. So that is very important, and it's actually very relevant for me. Let me see. Yeah, this one, 1858. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over this. If you become conscious, it's the same thing that we're talking about, this knowledge about Krishna, revealed knowledge, conscious of me, Krishna consciousness. You will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. It means big ocean becomes very small, like a hoof print, like a calf hoof print. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, if you do not work in Krishna consciousness, but act through false ego, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, I am the controller, you know, who that he thinks he is, what he did this to me, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about. I am the only one. Not hearing me, Krishna says, you will be lost. That means that this is a big challenge, you know, because this is very deeply rooted in us. All our thoughts, wills, every day is very much pervaded by false ego. False ego is really, we are very much influenced about this. We are actually, we have eight elements. We made a body. Gross body is made of the five elements: water, earth, ether, the five elements: water, earth, fire, ether, and sky. And then we have three mind, which is sato, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Nobody can deny there is no mind, isn't it? The mind is there. Mind, intelligence, and the false ego. The false ego, what is false? It's false ego. Ego is the identification we are talking about. Who am I identifying with, you know? So, we thinking that we are the body. It is false. It's not true. We are not the body. We are not, we should not be hurt by others. We should not become disappointed when things does not go right. Or we are influenced by the mode of ignorance, one of the modes described in Bhagavad Gita. There are three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. We should not become passionate or in ignorance, you know, lazy or angry or harsh. So we gradually should raise up to the mode of goodness and beyond the mode of goodness, beyond the modes, become transcendental. So this is the situation that by chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is purely spiritual. That means there is no difference between the name Krishna and Krishna. It's absolute. Prabhupada was saying this morning in the lecture. So this, I personally don't understand, you know, very much. But it's like this. There is no difference in the spiritual platform between the name of Krishna and Krishna himself. In the material platform, there is difference between the name, computer, and computer itself. If you say computer, you can operate it, but you need the object. But in the spiritual platform, the objects and the subject is the same, is absolute. So that means that, practically, that when you chant Hare Krishna mantra, the Maha mantra for deliverance, so you get actually associated with God. God is very merciful, loves us so much that He is giving this mantra, so as soon as we chant, as soon as we say Krishna, He's there. You know? So then we can get purified, because Krishna is like the sun, is purifying, you know, everything that touches. So that's it. We have to get rid of this conditioning, and the best way is to chant this mantra as much as possible. And then that's real science. That's real experimental science. You know? So we are talking about knowledge. Knowledge is not just this dissecting and observing, analyzing and making theories. The real science is also is also including emotions, including love, including exchanges, and so many other things. We have to awaken, you know, our consciousness to a higher, more things there. There are more things that we don't perceive just with the empirical knowledge. So, you know, empirical means the senses, just analyzing the world of matter that we see. I don't see it, I don't believe it. I remember people saying this. I don't believe in God. I don't see it. God is God. So this is ignorance. And knowledge is here in Bhagavad Gita. So that's why it's so important to read the Bhagavad Gita, to understand it, to chant the mantra, and to associate in a pleasing way with devotees. This is it's very important, because by doing that we get the mercy. We should be the devotees of the devotee, you know. So, I don't know where Advaisin is. Any other question? A comment? Or correction? Or chastisement? Anything else? So, I think we finish here. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Higher. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.